And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Great being with you today, and we have a very exciting program ahead of us. We're going to talk about food, hunger, and perhaps the shortage of food that's now developing, the rapidly growing high cost of food. And I know you're seeing that. I'm seeing it. My wife is in our own local grocery stores. But what does the Bible say about famines, pestilences, great tribulation because of hunger and death in the last days? I want to talk to you a whole lot about food today. You may say, oh my goodness, well, I'd rather watch Good Morning America or something if I want to learn about food, or, you know, some little woman's program. Well, well, I'm not saying that's the wrong thing to do, but I want to talk about it from a different angle. And I'd like to title the program we have today, give it a title. And here it would be: Comrades, Eat Your Daily Rations and Be Happy. Comrades, Eat Your Daily Rations and Be Happy. We're going to be discussing President Obama's rural councils. That's right. He's setting up a system of rural councils to run the farming, to manage farmers and ranchers throughout the United States. They're setting up districts, rural councils. There will be councils set up to govern and to judge things and to manage, perhaps to ensure that certain people are prosecuted who don't follow government regulations as to food or food storage or farming or gardening. And we're going to be looking at the coming, actually it's already here, it's begun, the Bolshevist collectivism of America's farms and ranches. The Bolshevist, that is communist collectivism of America's farms and ranches. Folks, this is the Sovietization of America. The Soviet Union fell, along about 1984, when George W. Bush and comrade Mikhail Gorbachev met in a ship in choppy ocean waters right off the island of Malta in the Mediterranean. They forged a new world order and the Iron Curtain fell, but now the Iron Curtain is rising in the United States. And what happened in the Soviet Union, the USSR, is now taking place. It's been going pretty rapidly lately. It expanded greatly during the era, of course, of President Bill Clinton, and both of the Bushes were part of this communization of America, Sovietization. But now Barack Obama has speeded it up, and no matter who is president next time, unless perhaps it's Ron Paul, and if Mr. Ron Paul is elected, well, that's not very likely. I'd like to see it, but he would probably be assassinated, or they'll come up with fake charges and they would get rid of him with impeachment as soon as they could. They certainly don't want him finding out the truth and discovering things and telling the American people about it. But in any case, we can talk all day about Ron Paul and the political system and the 2012 elections, and maybe we will spend a radio program or two on that. It's certainly a very valuable topic to talk about. But today I want to talk about your food supply. Seems like we got a lot in the stores now. Walk down one aisle after another, all kind of a variety and different brands and so forth. It boggles your mind, and no nation in history has ever had such foods, many of them bad for you, that rot out your teeth and probably tear up your innards as well. But whether or not they're good or bad for you, they're there and they're processed, a lot of them, to where all the nutrition is gone. But still, let's just say right now, we have plenty of food. It costs a lot. It's getting more expensive. The price of food, wholesale and retail, is skyrocketing so that the average American cannot really afford it anymore. One and I went to our local food store last week, and when we got to the cash register and it rang up, we almost wanted to fall out. She said, "Do you see that text?" I said, "Well, we got meat, you know, and it's like, you know, you get a good steak and it's $6 or $7 a pound now, and you get just 5 or 6 apples and suddenly you're up to $3 or $4 and it you get a box of cereal, it's smaller than the boxes that you used to offer, and it's like $4.50 for Kellogg's Corn Flakes. And we do have to ration it out. Everybody in America is beginning to ration their food. Comrades, eat your daily rations and be happy, or you'll hear from the state. It's sort of the attitude expressed. Now, we're going to talk about that. Before we do, I want to give you good folks out there some kudos, some thanks for what you're doing. You know, there's a children's home here in Texas, right outside of Austin. I've been there before, visited it, toured it. I see what they're doing. A number of our staff go there every, you know, so often and see what they're doing. And they're plain doing good things. They have a boys' ranch as part of it. And these homes, these displaced kids, orphans and so forth. And we have a fund drive every year right before Christmas time. And we give directly to the kids. And then we also give when we can to the overall Children's Home Administration. Folks, you cannot believe the difference in the lives of these children. You just can't believe it. The difference that you're making by giving. And as you always know, every penny we get in our children's home drive, our project, goes to the kids. We don't keep back 1 cent. We don't say, "Well, let's see now, you know, like the United Way, let's keep back so much for administration or for this ministry." No, we don't do that. We give it direct to the kids, every penny. And if you want to come by and visit us at the office someday and ask for the accounting records on that, well, you're wasting your time and ours, but I'll even let you do it. You know, as long as you gave to the fund, you could come here and check on it. We'll show you the accounting books and all. In fact, better yet, schedule a visit at the children's home. Now, they're busy too, and, you know, don't put them out and all that stuff. But if you want to come here and go down and check and talk with them, ask them, have we been helping them? You'll find out. You know, I remember some years ago, some supposed big Christian ministry was helping somebody in this group in Haiti of kids, and turned out they were giving next to nothing. You know, they would take in tens of thousands of dollars every year and then only giving basically pennies to the orphanage and the children. Well, you come here, if you've given to our fund, you come here and we'll show you the accounting books. And I won't even get upset at you for asking for them. I'll sit down and have a cup of coffee with you. I'll probably ask you for another donation for the children's home after you're finished. That is a danger, isn't it? Oh, my. And then another project that we have each year is the Employees Appreciation. You know, I've told you before, we have the best staff here, the most wonderful people. They love you. They love their jobs. They love serving you and serving God. Now, they give Tex Mars trouble sometime. That may be so. but oh, no, they don't. They know they'd get fired. No, I'm only kidding, Jerry. Jerry's over there at the... Jerry knows he's not going to get fired. How long have you been here, Jerry, at the ministry? 12 years. Michelle's been here, oh, I don't know, about 20, 21. We've got people here. I don't know why they stay here. Mean old Tex Mars. The whole world says Tex Mars is mean and cruel. But I don't know. The employees, maybe they love the ministry and don't love me. I don't know. But or just put up with me, but love the folks who call in and write in and everything. I know I love them. I love you. So maybe that's what it is. But in any case, we don't have enough money to give these folks medical insurance. We don't have enough. We did for a few years there because of your help, but you know, our money ran out, and then they don't get a retirement pay. I guess they'll finally get Social Security like everybody else, which is really not enough to live on exactly, but now they want to cut it some more. And by the way, Social Security, friends, is not welfare. You pay into it, and your employer pays into it, and it ought to be there. And if it's not, and if they say we're going to have to cut it because we've got all these wars going on and all these other expenses, we're giving out food stamps and everything, we're going to have to cut your Social Security. You know what I say? I think you better vote that congressman out of office. This is one you paid for. People who get free welfare and food stamps and all these other entitlements, so-called, they don't pay for it. They get it free. But you, Social Security recipients, you pay for it. You know what I'm talking about. In fact, you pay more. There are a lot of people that pay for you even. My daughter, Sharon Kay, died in her mid-40s of cancer. She paid all that. You know, when she was a young girl, she worked at a fried chicken place and a pizza place. She worked all her life. She paid into Social Security from the time she was about 15 years old until she died in her 40s. And guess what? She didn't get 1 cent from Social Security. She never received benefits because she died before she got in her 60s or so. So everything she gave in goes to the elderly who do get it. And good for them. I'm glad. And if I could speak to Sharon Kate today, and I will someday, she'd say, I'm glad. I'm glad that I paid in all those years. Even if I didn't get a cent from it because I died too soon, that somebody will get help. That's the way Sharon Kay was. That's the way we are here at this ministry. But anyway, you know, our employees deserve more, and they deserve help. And so this just adds to their pay every year, helps them somewhat, helps them to pay some medical bills on their own because we don't have medical insurance. You know, we depend on God. What does that mean for our employees? It means we depend on you. You say, well, I'm not God, but you can be a representative, an ambassador for God in supporting this ministry. And when you give to the children's home, I consider that part of Power of Prophecy. You're given to Power of Prophecy, but you're asking to be designated for the children's home. Now, we need help for Power of Prophecy, too, to keep this message going around the world, to keep our newsletters going, our books, our things. Tex Morris does not receive any royalties. For the books or my videos or anything else. So if somebody out there says, Tex, you write all these books and put out all these videos, you must be getting rich. Well, I don't get any royalties from it. It all goes in the ministry. And I'm not going to tell you how much I make, but let me just say this. I suspect a salesman down at Home Depot gets more than one, and I got this last year. But anyway, a cashier at a food store gets probably about as much as we got from the ministry. So if that's rich, then okay. Then every cashier at the food store and every sales clerk at Home Depot and Lowe's are rich too. We're all rich together, right? But that's about what we made last year. And as far as our staff here, I think they deserve a lot more than they got, but that's all we could pay them. So if they were some other job here, we have a high-tech economy here in Austin, Texas. I think they could get a lot more, but I'm glad they're staying with us. And I appreciate you for giving to our Employees Appreciation Fund, which you can give to all year long. But once a year, we have a drive, and then we divide it. We don't take any in the ministry, but we divide it among the employees. And even Wanda and I exclude ourselves, and we say, okay, here's what we've got in, and here's what each of the employees get. The shipping person gets as much as the manager here. We all give an equal amount from what you give, okay? So this comes from you, and, you know, It's a lovely relationship of the people who are, I don't know, our family. You're our family. We're all a family. And it's a lovely relationship. And I think someday when we all go to heaven, God is going to sort of reveal to us how everything worked. Sometimes we don't have the vision now, but he does that. And I want you to understand this. Ministry, dear friends, is based on courage and confidence in God. And that means in you, because I believe God inspires people to support Power of Prophecy and Tex Morris Ministries. I believe God does that. He puts it on your heart. And I've talked a lot more about money today than I ever talk about, use that. So I'm not going to say any more to you. I don't want you to say, oh, Texas is asking for money. I'm thanking you for what you've given. I'm not asking you for any today, but I'm thanking you for giving to Power Prophecy and then to our two special funds. We don't have many here. We haven't had a building project for what, about a decade. Hey, you know, I recall though, I think it was about a year and a half ago, we had our fence around here blown down and didn't have our security fence. People gave to that, and now we got our fence back up, got a new fence. So every once in a while, folks out there give for special things. We had that addition built on, you know, about 10 years ago, was it? Something like that. Yeah, now we have more room. Again, if you're ever in this area and you want to come visit us, feel free to do so. You'll have to be walking around while we're working because we don't have much time to stop. But we might offer you a cup of coffee and chat with you and hug your neck at least. So, okay. Let's return to our regular program because, well, it's important. Now, let's talk about food. Let's talk about President Obama's rural agricultural councils that he's already set up. I know about these rural agricultural councils because that's what they did in the Soviet Union. You see, the Soviet Union was one of the richest countries in the world in 1917 when the communists took over. They exported millions of tons of wheat and other agricultural products. But within 5 short years, they no longer exported. They were an importer. In fact, the people of the Soviet Union were starving shortly after the communists took over. Because, for one thing, the communists decided that property doesn't belong to people. It belongs to the state. And they expropriated. That means they seized all the property of the farmers, the ranchers, and everything they owned. Not only that, they told them you're going to have to live on collective farms. You don't own your farmhouse. You don't own your equipment. If you own a donkey or a mule, it's not yours. It's the state's. You will work for the government from now on. And we will give you whatever food we want to of your own food. And let me tell you something, friend. Throughout the Soviet Union, there were some 25 million farmers, and some say up to 16 million farmers perished in a purging, a brutal killing program by the communists from Moscow, almost all of whom were Jews and had never farmed an acre in their life. How could 16 million die out of some 25 million farmers and ranchers and their family? That's incredible. Let me tell you, for one thing, farmers were told if you keep one ear of corn for yourself without our permission, you will be sent off to the salt mines of Siberia, or you might be executed. You see, they had to make examples of farmers and ranchers that didn't want to go along with this. If you hid a plow or a piece of equipment in your barn because you didn't want to turn it over to the state, then you could be found guilty of stealing state property, even though it was yours originally. And many such people who stole their own property, so-called, or kept back just a few ears of corn or maybe a couple of pounds of wheat, they were just taken out and executed, taken out to the public square out in the country, and all the local farmers were brought together and sentence was pronounced on them from the local rural collectivist agricultural council, and they were murdered. They were shot to death. And the people were told, this is what's going to happen to you. So all of the food that you reap from the fields had to be turned in to the authorities. And then they would dole out food as they saw fit. If you didn't go along with the program very much, your family would starve during the ensuing winter. It was called collective farming. Now, that's a type of, the dictionary says that collective farming or communal farming are types of agricultural production in which the holdings of a number of farmers are run as a joint enterprise. But these weren't holdings of several farmers. They were holdings of the government. The government took it all over. It's really a production cooperative. Doesn't that sound nice? Now, I want you to understand that the Jews came up with this idea. Jewish monsters, to put it bluntly. Now, when Israel was formed in 1948, guess what? They started collective farms. They call them the kibbutzim, K-I-B-B-U-T-Z-I-M. They were the same as the Soviet collective farms, the Israeli kibbutzism, kibbutz or kibbutzim, plural. And did you know that many American Jews volunteered to go over there during the summers and work for free at an Israeli kibbutz? Some Christian evangelicals thought they were serving God by going over and working in these socialist or communist collective farms in Israel, pulling weeds and so forth. In fact, Michelle Bachmann, the congresswoman from Minnesota who ran for president, very proudly says, I spent a whole summer pulling weeds at an Israeli kibbutz, serving God. No, she was serving the devil, because that's what communist farms are. That's what collective farming is all about. Why did Israel have them? Because most of the Jews came from the Soviet Union and the countries that the Soviet Union had ran over, seized, and taken. Countries like Poland, Czechoslovakia, Romania, Hungary, and so forth. And wherever communist Jews are, they will set up these communal farming systems, collective farmings. And the settlers now, so-called in Israel, that's stealing all the land from the Arabs and the Palestinians, they're setting up these kibbutzim, these communist farms. Americans don't realize that Israel is a communist country that has a facade of democracy. Oh, yeah, they have their Knesset, but only certain people can run for office, and only certain people, religious people, approved, are allowed to even vote in elections. If you're a Palestinian who's lived in Israel all your life, you're not allowed to vote. You're not even allowed to own land. There you go. There you go. I was recently reading a book by a man named Don Heidesheimer, H-E-D-D-E-S-H-E-I-M-E-R. It's called The First Holocaust. The First Holocaust. But he talks in here about these communal forms. Absolutely astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. They would take a Jew who's never been on a farm in his life from a big city, Moscow or whatever, some university graduate, but he's Jewish, of Jewish blood, and they would put him in charge of a whole region of communist communal farms, of collectivist Bolshevik farms. He didn't know how to run things. All he knew was how to kill people. And killing they did. Murderers. Stalin's second man named Lazar Kaganovich, a Jew, he was the deputy to Stalin, but he really, many people believe he had more power than Stalin, loved to kill farmers and peasants and ranchers and so forth. Because there were very few Jews who owned farms, and he was thrilled to have the opportunity to massacre Gentiles, to steal their property, and still he did. Let me read to you what the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, that's a very powerful Jewish organization, reported from Minsk, Soviet Union, back in, New York. This was in the New York Times, December 30th, 1928. The Jews were very happy. In the United States, they were ecstatic that all the farmers' lands were taken away from them and given to Jewish commissars to run. Here's what it says. Now remember, this was reported by a Jewish group, very prideful and happy over the situation where the communists were in control. It is reported in the New York Times, which of course is a media enterprise in the United States, the most powerful newspaper probably, other than the Washington Post, all of which, by the way, are owned by the Jews in America and were back in 1928. This article states this, quote, that's a dispatch from the Jews in Minsk, Russia. It says, Jewish workers interviewed by the correspondent agreed in blaming the kulaks, that's the farmers, for using their influence to promote anti-Semitic disturbances and making trouble for the new Soviet government. The kulaks, that is farmers, are especially incensed at the government's insistence upon its plan for the socialization of agriculture. What a horrible thing. The farmers were upset that they were stealing their farms and taking all their property. How dare the farmers to be upset over such a thing? I was recently reading an article in the National Journal on the internet entitled "The Greatest Mass Murderers in History Were Jews." From the American Hebrew Magazine, New York, September the 10th, 1920, we read this, quote, "The Bolshevik, that's communist, revolution in Russia was the work of Jewish planning and Jewish dissatisfaction. Our plan," that's the American Hebrew Magazine now, "our plan," and it's published in America, "our plan is to have a new world order. What worked so wonderfully in Russia is going to become reality for the whole world." You get that? Here's something quite interesting. In Der Spiegel magazine, the news magazine, the most popular news magazine in Germany, 1991, page 151, it talks about Lazar Kaganovich, Stalin's number two man, who was in charge of all the farming activities, these collectivist farms in the Soviet Union. It said Lazar, and here I'm going to quote this, "Lazar Kaganovich's rage was aimed on the class enemy, the kulaks, the farmers, the peasants. His rage was aimed at them. He succeeded in exterminating the entire farming and peasant population in the Soviet Union. He planned and organized a genocide of about 20 million farmers and peasants. He was the biggest individual mass murderer in the history of mankind. And he killed mostly farmers because they were Gentiles and he hated them. They lost their land, collective farming. They had these world councils set up, and the comrades directed everything until finally almost all the farmers were either dead, starved to death, shot, executed, bludgeoned to death, some of them stoned to death, others kicked to death by horses for the enjoyment of the commissars watching. But the vast majority of them who were accused of inciting the people against communism or the state, or perhaps saying something negative to the Jews who were the commissars, those were the enemies of the state who were taken away and sent off to the Gulag concentration camps. Folks, this is real. You say, well, they would never do that today. That was past history. Text, why are you bringing all that up? I'm telling you that Agenda 21 has been passed. Agenda 21 is a world treaty. And Bill Clinton, and yes, Barack Obama are in approval of Agenda 21. What is Agenda 21? It's the new White House World Council system. The same thing in the Soviet Union, the Sovietization of America. And it's called the United Nations Agenda 21. That means the 21st century. They are serious about taking everyone's land. And I read this document, this Agenda 21. You won't believe it. When I come back, we're going to tell you what it says, what they plan for America, and why everything that I said in my book, Days of Hunger, is coming to pass. You've got to know this. Folks, you're going to be hungry. You're going to be starving, and it won't be long if these monsters get their way. We'll be right back after this brief message. I'm Tex Mars, and you're listening to Power of Prophecy. Tex Mars again here. You know, several years back, I wrote a book. We published it. And it was an amazing book. And I know God just poured this book into me and the information in it. Never had a book like this been published. It's entitled Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, The Coming Great food shortages in America. I started out the book with a Bible quote. Maybe that's the reason people didn't pay attention to it. They dishonor the Bible today. Look at the world around us. They have no respect for God's word. And that's the major problem we have, my friends. People have forgotten God. But it says in Matthew 24, verse 7, also verses 21 and 25, of the last days, and this is Jesus Christ, our Lord, speaking. You either believe him or you don't. He says, there shall be famines and pestilences, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Behold, I have told you before. Doesn't that make your hair stand up on the back of your neck, friends? Behold, said Jesus, I have told you before, famines, great tribulation. Things will be worse than since the beginning of the whole world, or ever shall be. Revelation 6, Jesus comes again, and he tells the prophet, the apostle John. He talks about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and one of them brings great famine and great hunger throughout the world. And much of the world dies, perishes, because of this great hunger that comes upon the whole world. You say, well, I go down to my food store, there's plenty. I can stop at a McDonald's for $5. I can get a Happy Meal or something. Folks, you don't realize how fast things can change. There were 25 million farmers who were doing so well in Russia and those Soviet countries that they exported the excess food to other nations in Europe and around the world. They were sending ships full of wheat and other products around the world. They were making money. The farmers were prosperous. In 1917. But it all changed that year. And the next year, things weren't the same. And within a few years, most of the farmers were dead. Their families, their women raped, their little boys savaged, and they were sent off to gulag concentration camps, those that were alive. And guess what? The whole Soviet Union fell into a ravenous period of hunger. Everybody was hungry. Only the top comrades in the big cities had enough food. People were rummaging trash cans. There were no restaurants. You couldn't go to a restaurant. There were no fast food places in Moscow and Leningrad and Stalingrad. You couldn't say, I'll just go to a restaurant and eat. There were no restaurants. The food stores closed down. People were going door to door. Do you have a potato? One potato for my whole family, please. Do you have just a little piece of bread? Please help us. And it happened just that fast. And I talked about this in Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. You know, 3 years ago, I was at a prophecy conference. Actually, it was a sort of a survivalist conference in West Virginia with my good friend, Pastor Butch Paul, as the sponsor. And a man came up to me and he said, I'm a representative of the small farmers. We have an association in America, and I forget the name of it, dear friends, but it was something like the Independent Small Farmers of America. He said, we have thousands of small farmers that are members of our group. And your book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, The Coming Great Food Shortages in America, just came to our attention. And it's a shocking book. It's amazing. And only now things are being reported that you put in your book some years ago. How did you know all this? How did you know about the Terminator gene that was being implanted by Monsanto and other chemical companies into our seeds so that they could only be used one time? And they could make a fortune, but farmers would have to keep buying seed over and over because it would be only good for one time. The normal heirloom seeds, no more. No good anymore. Genetic engineering creates a new type of seed, and farmers will be required around the world to use this new seed. How did you know this, he said? And how did you know about the United Nations World Food Authority? That's right, friends. There is a United Nations World Food Authority, and the building alone for the thousands of bureaucrats that work in it is over in Europe. It's a building as big as the Pentagon almost. A gigantic building full of bureaucrats. What are they planning there? What are they going to do there? Bureaucrats, administrators, the World Food Authority, and the leader of it is quoted in my book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, as saying, food is power, and we will not hesitate to use it. Food is power. They deny you food, you'll do anything. You'll grovel at their feet when you're starving or when you want to feed your family. Hungry mobs panicking and rioting. You wait and see. I don't know exactly when this is going to occur. I just know that it will. And I want you to survive. You know, one of the things that I have on starting on page 219 of this book, 10 steps for physical preparation. 10 steps, 10 things you need to do. 10 steps. How you can survive. You can even be prosperous in this coming time of horror. But you have to know what to do, when to do it, and who to do it with. And that's what I tell you in my book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. There has never been a book like this written in the world. Okay? You'd have to buy 50 other books to get a little piece of each one. And it's good today as it was when I first wrote it. Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. I have a video, too. You can order the video. Now, this book, I don't know, how much are we offering for this book, Jerry? Is it $18? $18 for the book. It's all around 230-some-odd pages long. $18. Please add $5 shipping and handling for Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. The video, $20. The video, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, $20 for the video. And I'd get both of them. I think you need them. Now, we're starting to offer seeds, too. Heirloom seeds, the kind you can use over and over, okay? And you'll have to go on our website or on our next newsletter, and we'll have pictures of it's called the Seed Vault. It's basically a canister with a bunch of seed packages in it. Now, I've gone out and priced seed, and I was pretty shocked. At Home Depot and all these garden stores and everything, my goodness gracious, one little package of seeds with looks like 10 seeds in it. It can break a man how much they cost. But you need some seeds. You need some seeds. And I think you need to keep them in this little, we call it the vault, this metal canister. It's good for 7 years. These seeds will last for 7 years. So we don't know how long these things are going to last, but you need to prepare and have these already so you can have things from cucumbers to squash to watermelons to whatever, corn, all those things. We have the seed, and you need to order this. And I don't even know what it is. I'm not going to tell you right now what it is, but you need to go online on our webpage and find it. Or in the next newsletter, which is coming out, First February, we'll have a picture of this seed vault. But you can also call and get a description of it from the folks who are here. So again, the video, $20, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. The book for $18. Whatever you order, $5 shipping and handling, of course. And then our heirloom, they call them heirloom, seed vault that we're offering to you. Now we have some other things too. You know, we still have our water filtering system. You throw dirty water in it on one side and it comes out clean the other side. I think it filters out about 99-point-something% of particulates from your water. And that keeps you healthy with good water. So we're trying to help you prepare. Because when these things start happening and you're not prepared, you're not going to be able to buy any seeds. You're not going to be able to get something that makes clean water. And you're not going to understand what's going on. You need this book. Okay. I'd like to let you know, of course, our phone number where you can buy these things from us. And every time you order from us, of course, we extend our subscription for you for our monthly newsletter. And we'll keep sending Power Prophecy newsletter to you. Of course, you can get these by phoning us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Monday through Friday during the workday, Central Time. Or you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. powerofprophecy.com. On the home page, in fact, you'll see a picture of Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, a little description of it. You can order that. You can order the Seed Vault. That's on our home page, powerofprophecy.com. And probably many of you are listening to the program now. You're right there on powerofprophecy.com. Take a look after you finish this program, and there it will be on our home page. The video, of course, you may have to click and find that somewhere among our videos. All right. Again, our phone number, 1-800-234-9673. To order these by mail, you can write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And by the way, I have done the 10 things that I recommended to others. I practice what I preached. And second of all, that's from the book. We also have a water filter system at home. We got that from Power of Prophecy, Wanda and I, so we can keep our clean water going out there in case of crises, emergencies, from floods to hurricanes to whatever, earthquakes that might occur. And we also now have this seed vault with a canister and everything. We have seeds, and we're gonna store them up. In fact, we're going to get a couple of those seed vaults, and one of them we're going to start planting things, and the food will be much more healthy than you buy in the store anyway. And we're going to have a second seed vault canister with these seeds in it that we're going to keep in our cabinet in case of an emergency, and we're going to survive. And I think God is going to help a lot of us, friends. That's the whole thing. Tell God what to do. Don't ever tell God anything. Tell him your needs, maybe. But ask him, request it of him. You know, he's going to take care of you. God's your Father in heaven. And he's a wonderful, loving Father as well. All right, let's return to our program. We were talking about Agenda 21, about what is going to happen to our farmers. Now, if you're a farmer out there, things bad are happening to you. Did you know they just had this company, big Wall Street company, run by the former governor, crooked governor, John Corzine of New Jersey. Well, after he left the governor's office, he and his cronies, these Jews, all of them, opened up a great big Wall Street firm called MF Global. I don't know what the MF stands for. I don't even want to guess. MF Global. Well, they suddenly went bankrupt. Didn't have a cent. Billions of dollars missing. And 38,000 small farmers say their money's gone. They put their money with banks and savings and loans, not realizing these banks and savings and loans would give their money to MF Global for some investment scheme. Can you imagine? You're some farmer in Idaho or Kansas or Oklahoma or Florida. You put your money, your savings and all that. You keep it in a bank, your local bank. You think everything's okay. Suddenly you find out that bank, the fine print of your deposit, system said that they can invest your money. And they did. They gave it to this big Wall Street firm run by these rich Jews called MF Global. And now the 38,000 farmers have lost all their savings. They don't even have enough money to buy seed and fertilizer or farm animal feed. What are they going to do? Many of them will go bankrupt this year, this very year. 38,000. Willie Nelson, Farm Aid, where are you when we need you? MF Global. Then it just came out in the news this week that right before they went bankrupt, MF Global sold all of its assets to, get this, get ready, Goldman Sachs Bank. I've told you, Goldman Sachs is the most powerful Rothschild bank in the world. MF Global has the money of 38,000 farmers that don't even know they have their money, and then they sold all the assets to Goldman Sachs. Think about that. The 38,000 farmers are now suing. They all got attorneys, and they're suing MF Global to try to get pennies back. Yeah, good luck on that one. Congress is covering it all up. They had hearings on it. Yeah, sure, hearings. But let me tell you what Agenda 21 is all about. It's a report produced by the United Nations Conference on human settlements. See, you don't live in a nation. You live in a human settlement, friends, to these globalists, to these Illuminists. and to the United Nations. Now, listen to what they say in their report. They said, quote, land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset, controlled by individuals, and subject to the pressures and inefficiencies of the market. Private land ownership is a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth, and therefore contributes to social injustice. Did you get that? If you own land, can be 1 acre or 1,000 acres, why, you're one of those evil people that's concentrating their wealth. And you're contributing to social injustice. Therefore, it says, public control of land use is indispensable. Public control of land use. Now, by the way, folks, they've got to do this. Sure, don't they? Environmentalism. You know those farmers, I mean, they're not doing the right things to keeping up their land, are they? I mean, let's just look at it here. Let's see what these mean and evil farmers are doing and the reason why their land use must be controlled by the federal government and even by the United Nations inspectors. For example, I'm reading in a newsletter called naturalnews.com that more and more states are making it illegal to collect rainwater. Did you get that? Governments everywhere are claiming we own the rain. And farmers have no right to collect rainwater for their animals, for their crops, for themselves. I understand even here in Texas, Governor Ann Richards some years back, they were trying to figure out ways with the state farm agency on how to tax farmers and landowners, even people who own homes, residences in the city, little bitty quarter acre little postage stamp lot. They were going to start billing everybody for the rainwater that fell on their lawns. Imagine if you own 100 acres way out in the country. They might bill you more for rainwater than you make on profits for your livestock or for your farm products. Collecting rainwater is now illegal in many states, including Utah, Washington, Colorado. Thank you, Governor John Huntsman from Utah. Now there's another bill passed called Senate Bill 510, the Food Safety Modernization Act. Well, they got to keep food safe, don't they? And farmers are so stupid, they can't do it. So the government's got to start telling them what to do. For one thing, they're going to start controlling where food goes. Huh? I thought it went to our stomachs. Well, they're going to put nanotechnology chips. These will be smaller than microchips, and they'll actually be planted in the product, a head of lettuce, cabbage, squash. They'll have a nanotechnology, very, very tiny. You can't even see it. And the government will be able to track where the food goes and how much food is grown. Because the government says we're going to have to control the amount of food to make sure the price level is correct. You say, Tex, I don't believe this about nanotechnology. I have the article right here. July 12, 2011, nanotechnology tracking food from farm to fork. And when it goes in your body, then they can track you with the nanotechnology chips. How about that one? And if you start making food that has not been approved, why? You'll lose your property. Let me read to you from WorldNetDaily.com. It says, lose your property for growing food? Yes, indeed. Big Brother legislation soon to be passed could mean prosecution and fines up to $1 million. That's that Food Safety Modernization Act. What if you just own a couple acres and you've always dreamed about having a little garden to have a few radishes, you know, a few cucumbers, some tomatoes? That's not approved. You're going to have to get a permit from the government before you can plant a garden like that. And they might have sent inspectors out to see if you have the right kind of land, if you have the right, how much water. Maybe they say you can't use water. You don't have a shortage of water in this state. Maybe next year we'll let you plant your tomatoes. You say, Tex, they can't do that. Are you kidding me? They can do exactly that. And as a matter of fact, you can't reuse the seeds. If you do, that'll be a federal offense too, to reuse seeds. I talk about that in Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. And I even give you all of the executive orders that exist. The president at any time can order these things in place. He doesn't even need a law. They don't worry about laws nowadays. They just have dictatorial powers, don't they, in the White House? Meanwhile, to make sure that the Illuminati elite always have plenty of food, if something happens to the seed in the world, now get this, it's called pestilence. Some kind of a virus attacks the seeds and our plants. Some kind of bacterial infection. And the government says all these millions of pounds of crops must be destroyed. And they can't be replanted for so many months or years. How do you eat? Well, don't worry. Near the Arctic, a seed vault has been built. New York Times, let me read you this article, says near the Arctic, a huge seed vault, which is a virtual Fort Knox of food, has been built. And with plant species disappearing at an alarming rate, scientists and governments are creating a global network of plant banks to store seeds and sprouts, precious genetic resources that may be needed for man to adapt the world's food supply to climate change and global warming. They're doing it for climate change and global warming. Of course, you use your car and all these gasoline engines and everything and heat your home, and carbon dioxide gets in the air, and we're all going to burn ourselves to death. It's going to get hotter and hotter. And of course, the oceans are going to rise up and entire continents will be inundated with water. Oh my goodness, it's made for a, you know, Hollywood movie, a tragedy, disaster movie, isn't it? Except it's all science fiction baloney. Nevertheless, they're passing the bills. Obama says it's true. Climate change, global warming is a fact. And man has caused it. You mean old people that run your automobiles, they're going to take those away from you. Your gasoline, you mow your grass, well, they can't allow that. It's coming. Pat Buchanan was interviewed on MSNBC. Pat Buchanan, you know, who ran for president on a Republican ticket some years ago. He's been paid to be a contributor on MSNBC News, which is sort of a communist socialist type news media outfit. Of course, Fox News is no different, really. They just pretend that they differ. But Pat Buchanan, they say, is one of the only conservatives on MSNBC. And every once in a while, he gets an opportunity to come on. Here's what he says. Pat Buchanan says the climate bill, that's Agenda 21 stuff and all this, will lead to transfer of wealth and power to a world government. I'll read it to you. It says Pat Buchanan on MSNBC says that the new climate bill is not good science and is dangerous, that President Obama could use it to transfer the power of government to a new world order government. How dare Pat Buchanan for saying stuff like that? Guess what happened to Pat Buchanan? He was Helen Thomasized. He was Rick Sanchezized. You say, what are you talking about, Tex? I'm saying that in the paper this very week, I just read that Pat Buchanan has been fired by MSNBC for being anti-Semitic and a white supremacist. He's written a new book, see, called Suicide of a Superpower. The American culture, because they've been bashing Christianity so long. They've been bashing, yes, the white people for so long. Our whole country is committing suicide. Well, you dirty old anti-Semite, how dare you say such things? You white supremacist, that can't be true. They fired him. Obviously, they don't want any differing. They believe in free speech at MSNBC. You're free to say anything that they agree with. Pat Buchanan has been fired, just like Helen Thomas was when she spoke her mind about the Jews and the Palestinians. Just like Rick Sanchez, he says he was one of the anchor guys, or the, not anchor, but at least one of the news folks, sat at the desk and was seen on TV at CNN, Cable News Network. What happened to Rick Sanchez? Well, he happened to mention that he probably was never going to be a main anchor guy, you know, like a Dan Rather or whatever, because he's a Cuban American. Only Jews get those high posts. Only Jews can advance in the media because the Jews own the media. How dare him for saying stuff like that? Is it true? Yes, but you can't say that. You can't tell the American people the truth. Rick Sanchez was fired. Now Pat Buchanan has been fired. Was it because he said the new climate bill, this global warming nonsense, will lead to transfer and wealth and power to world government? I believe that's exactly why he was fired. I was reading in Bloomberg. Yeah, Bloomberg. You know, Mayor Bloomberg, the Jewish mayor of New York. He bought up Business Week. Guy's got billions of dollars. After giving all of his money to gay groups to support gay marriage and everything, what he's got left, he supports a socialist communist agenda for America. And one of their agendas is for the farming industry to be taken over by agribusiness, others by corporations. That's their plan. They own the corporations, and they're going to own all the land. Here's a headline, crisis on the front cover of Bloomberg's Business Week. It says, weather, investment speculation. That means the big boys. They buy the food commodities. They buy the food futures. They tell us all what the prices are going to be at the supermarket. It starts with food futures. Paper. Weather, speculation, and politics have created a global food crisis that threatens everything, says Bloomberg. Not only are they stealing all the food and all the land and putting the farmers out of business so they can create these gigantic agricultural combines that are owned by the Illuminati elite, mostly made up of Jews, billionaires, but they want you and me to know about it. This is a crisis. They want us to be fearful. That means we'll go out and buy more food, store up more food, and we won't mind so much when the prices go up. And get these headlines recently. Here's a headline for you. The Chinese government is buying up economic assets and huge tracts of land all over the United States. Get that? Get my video, Die America Die. Did I not tell you? The Chinese government is buying up economic assets and huge tracts of land all over the United States. Hey, here's another one from the American Free Press, my good friends there. July 18th, issue of their magazine or newspaper. George Soros, that's the Hungarian Jew that's in America trying to spoil everything and turn it into a communist paradise. George Soros and feds seize control of America's flooded farmland. All these floods occur, feds come in and seize the land. By the way, here's another headline. George Soros buying farmland reaps annual gains of 16%. The world's in an economic chaos. He's buying up these lands at distressed prices in America, farmland, and he's making a 16% profit. Don't worry, comrades. The government will put you on its ration list. They'll give you a ration card. They'll make sure you have just enough to eat and the number of calories necessary to at least live, to at least continue to breathe. That's their plan. But they're going to own everything. They're collectivist forms. They're bureaucrats who will be in charge. Comrades, eat your daily rations, shut up, and be happy. Or else, says Obama, says the collectivist Jews, and America will have its kibbutz too, run by the commie bosses. That's their plan. What are you going to do, dear friend, to stop this dastardly plan? This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. And my fervent prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.